interfacing with the Matrix. The Allspark that links everyone and everything that ever lived or ever will live.
Welcome to the Axon Archives, the highest rated Beast Wars podcast on Apple Podcasts, where we watch every episode of the 90s CG cartoon, Beast Machines. If you want to follow along, you can do so with the DVDs or on Tubi TV. Apparently, Tubi.tv will redirect you to TubiTV.com. They're the same place. I'm Dawood.
I'm James. We still don't know how they make their money there.
Yeah. Supposedly, it's advertising supported, but neither of us have seen any ads yet.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely not just... because I'm using ad blocker.
I mean, I'm watching it on my Apple TV and still no ads.
It is a mystery.
Yeah.
Who knows how anyone makes money on the web? I'm sure I know people who try to make money on the web that don't know the answer to this question.
I really hope they're not just tracking our information.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. But hey, guys, if you don't want to watch along with us, like maybe check out this website. It's actually got some really cool, really neat pics on there.
They're not paying us for real.
Yeah, not hashtag non-spawn. this episode. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode with Mark. I edited that last night as we record this. Mm-hmm. This week we're going to be watching episode 56 of the Beast Era overall, episode 4 of season 1 of Beast Machines, Mercenary Pursuits, which aired October 9th, 1999. Still keeping up the trends of new episodes every week. I think this might have been when they were playing reruns during the week, so kids shows usually don't just do a new episode every single week. That's probably why. The kids could still catch up that way.
Yeah, it's nice to have like regular weekly episodes. Like, it's been such a relief with like the, not to get too much of a tangent, like the latest Steven Universe to have them actually spread out instead of like constantly in Steven bombs. Like, that's a lot to take in sometimes.
I mean, going from the Diamond Days trailer that I've watched, I feel like it's not a good idea for them to like drop it all at once right now. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like every episode's going to like have a lot of stuff to process.
Yep.
Yeah. So this episode was written by Michael Reeves, first of three episodes he wrote for Beast Machines. He also wrote the big broadcast of 2006 for G1 Transformers.
Yes, which for those keeping homes is the one where I believe that the Junkions nearly caused universal war by like just broadcasting. Oh, that's right. The Quintessons hijacked television broadcast the Junkion, send subliminal messages, causing them to go to war, and then I believe they rebroadcast them across the galaxy, causing other universes to go to war. And what I'm guessing is not a subtle commentary that too much TV is bad for you.
I feel like even in the 80s, they wouldn't be stupid. No TV show would be stupid enough to send that message out.
I mean, some TV writers are kind of subversive, particularly on like how crass and commercialized the episodes were. I'm just kind of surprised that he got away with it.
Yeah. So other notable credits, Batman the Animated Series, including Mask of the Phantasm, he actually wrote the screenplay for that. Gargoyles, TMNT, the 80s series, He-Man, The Real Ghostbusters, Tiny Toon Adventures, Smurfs, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, The Incredible Hulk, which I believe that's the cartoon from the 60s or 80s that would have aired around the same time as Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and Super Friends. And believe me, there is more. I just got the highlights.
Yeah.
This episode was directed by Raul Inglis, one of two episodes he'll direct for Beast Machines. He's also worked for Mainframe on Reboot and Shadow Raiders. Currently working on the movie Salesman, which he wrote and directed. So let's get into the recap. So the episode starts with Megatron berating his Viacon generals and tells them to get the Maximals or suffer the consequences.
Yeah, seems a little stern because they've only had like one episode to fail, and also they haven't been like going around with all of their armies. Seems a bit much.
Yeah, I mean they're made to be generals. I wouldn't the point of them is to go around with their armies.
Yeah. And also kind of showing that they're not exactly all on the same page. You have Jetstorm appealing to Megatron, claiming that he could have done it by himself if he didn't have those like two dullards following him around. And Megatron just like basically has like pain switches in all of them and just activates in Jetstorm and then activates it in the rest.
Were they pain switches, or did he just, like, direct lightning at them?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I'm going with pain switches because, as we find out from later in the episode, that he has complete control over them.
Oh, yeah. Actually, speaking of Jetstorm, so, he asks him, like, so what happened, and why don't you have the Maximals? And Jetstorm just, like, just steps forward and says, "All right, listen to this, boss man. I was bobbing and weaving, like, moving and grooving, and these two idiots got in my way." And just shows that currently he is the best character on the show.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, after Megatron tells them, "I'm your creator, here's how it goes. Please me, and you get rewarded. Fail me, and you get, and you face the consequences. Simple, right?" So they all go out basically patrolling for the Maximals, and Thrust and Jetstorm just try to just turn on each other, trying to sabotage and eliminate each other.
Yeah.
Something cool that Thrust did actually was he just stops in the middle of the highway, staring off in the distance. Jetstorm says, "What are you doing?" "Nothing." And he just shoots above him and tried to collapse a bridge on him.
Yeah, they do not like each other in this episode. It's been a while since I watched it, so I can't remember if this is a rivalry thing that goes through the entire series or if just this episode, but it was very good.
Do you think, so, like, knowing their origin, do you think that's at play at all?
That could be. I hadn't actually considered that.
Yeah, I don't think those two really, like, hated each other.
I mean, I don't think they really interacted that much.
Yeah. Other than the fact that they're, you know, the same person, voiced by the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Optimus, we cut to Optimus, he apparently knows about Rhinox and Silverbolt, and senses a familiar spark.
Yeah, I guess they finally found time to tell him.
Yeah, which, something. So Rattrap wanted to tell him, but apparently in this episode he's kind of mad that, I guess he realizes Primal's going to want to find them, and he's like, we're probably never going to find them, but you're going to want to anyways, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Primal makes them split up to search, and this time he goes with Black Arachne, I guess, wanting to keep an eye on her this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that he believes he can trust Cheetor and Rattrap by themselves now.
Mm-hmm.
We also get a
brief bit of exposition where reminding us that they can't be detected so long as they are in beast mode. Remember that. It's going to be important.
Did they remind us of that?
Yes, Black Arachnia specifically mentioned it to Rattrap. I forget the exact line, but it's very much like, "Oh, and so the audience doesn't forget, we can't get detected in beast mode.
Yeah. So Cheetor and Rattrap actually just sort of happen upon a spare parts warehouse. Cheetor says, that's a lot of security for just spare parts. So Rattrap's like, well, there's no trap this rat can't get it out of or into. What does he, like, get him, like, take a grate off, and then just 2 seconds later, he unlocks all the doors?
Yeah. For someone who's stuck in beast mode, he still seems to be pretty capable of doing everything he can do.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't really... I guess we're talking about the episode anyways, it's not doing matter, but he, like, in his robot mode in this episode, he doesn't get to do much with it, but so far, his beast mode seems to be more handy than his robot mode.
Mm-hmm.
So they go inside, and it looks like someone was making a virus. Rattrap says it's not just any virus. This is where Megatron made the transformation virus. And apparently there's a counter virus, which is a transformation enhancer. Now, this was something that was pointed out. So some people believe it's a continuity error, that since the Maximals are immune to the detrimental effects of the virus, the counter virus shouldn't have any effect either. Hang on to that thought. So Rattrap sneaks one of the enhancers and then tells Cheetor to go find Optimus because he has to know about this.
Yeah, I noted, like, Cheetor may be older, but he's still easily duped by Rattrap. Because Rattrap says, yes, I will definitely not use this on myself the moment you get out of my sight. And Cheetor's like, I can trust you. You are the Maximal most known for sticking by your word.
He finds the others and they're actually closing in on the spark. But before they're found, before they find it, Cheetor or Tankor finds them with a spotlight. And just starts opening fire.
Yes, completely unrelated to them trying to find a spark of their previous comrade.
Yeah. Cheetor gets tired of getting used for target practice and tries to fight back, but Optimus is worried that one of the storage containers there nearby might contain explosives. Which Black Maxima says, aren't you being a little overcautious? Which is when Tankor starts exploding containers. And
I mean, I think more accurately, Optimus Primal has been watching this show and knows things tend to be pretty explosive. It's like, look, it's just easier this way.
Yeah. But he does turn to her and say, any other questions?
Yeah.
But once they manage to get away, or at least hide.
Yeah, and Primal's... again, they're in beast mode, so Tankor actually can't detect them.
Yeah. I suppose if he was a little bit faster, he might be able to just keep track of them.
Well, Tankor is kind of slow, and I think also at this point, the Viacons haven't realized that that's what's happening. They just know that they disappear.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Tankor, actually, they just mirrored. Did he, like, sound like he's in pain the entire episode?
Definitely for parts of it.
Yeah, like, probably from when the explosion goes off later, to almost the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I managed to hide, but Primal's confused because he knows he felt a familiar spark. He actually said it's through my connection to the Matrix. It hasn't been said yet, but the Oracle is actually a shell program for the Vector Sigma computer,
mm-hmm.
which is also the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
It's complicated. But so his connection to the Oracle is a connection to the Matrix. So he says, I felt the spark that is somewhat familiar. Now he thinks like, oh, it's probably we probably found where one of our comrades is. He's probably fallen to the virus. I wish they would have been a little more explicit with that, though.
Well, I thought, didn't Cheetor just say like, no, it's probably just a duplicate made by Megatron?
Yes, but I mean like, Primal's thought process.
Mm.
Yeah, the Cheeto does say, like, it's probably a decoy by Megs. But how would he know? Before they can escape, though, Rattrap yells out, like literally whistles and says, "Hey, guys, look what I can do!" Mm-hmm. And then goes into robot mode.
Yeah. Oh, actually, before we get there, there's one shot where, like, Tankor is, like, going behind the hallway, and it's an over-the-shoulder shot with him in tank mode of the turret, and it's sort of like, man, this looks like footage from, like, Uncharted or, like a third-person video game, even though, like, that style of game would not be made for, like, over a decade after this. It's, like, right tight behind his head as the gun, like, kind of shifts up and the camera follows where his gun is pointing.
No, I remember a video game on the N64 that had that mechanic. I do not remember the title.
Maybe. I know that style didn't become really popular until relatively.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes into robot mode. Should we describe his robot mode?
Yeah, briefly. Like, he never stays in on it for very long, but he's constantly shifting between it, where he has, instead of legs, he has two wheels, and kind of oversized arms, I'm trying to forget. And he also has a visor over his head, which he never uses in this episode, but will use frequently later on.
Yeah, we've seen him, like, use his tail a lot. He'll actually be able to use, I think he still has a tail in robot mode, but he'll be able to use that tail as sort of a data port to, like, think R2-D2 hacking.
Uh-huh.
And the visor will basically be his interface.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually does, the design kind of, like, touches on, like, some of the original design plans they had for Rattrap. I think we mentioned this way back in, like, Rattrap Spotlight episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where I had an idea of, like, his transmission was damaged and to be on, like, life support. So, like, I'm, like, kind of a disabled character representation, so weirdly you kind of get that with his wheels, although it's never really, even when he, like, gets in it regularly, like, and he kind of complains about his mode, his robot mode, I don't think he ever complains about the wheel specific. He usually complains about, like, why don't I have guns? Sorry, Rattrap, taking it with Bobsker.
Yeah, well, plus he, don't forget, like, his transmetal form had wheels on his beast mode, so he's probably okay with that. It's just something that carried over.
Yeah, we actually do kind of get a callback to his original transmetal mode at the end. But we'll get there when we get there.
Okay.
So yeah, he transforms, and everyone, and they yell at him to go back to beast mode, because Tankor's right there.
Yeah. Tankor actually locks in on him, and they all run. And then we find out Rattrap starts, like, phasing back and forth, like, not going all the way one way or the other.
Well, we get a couple different shots. We get him, like, running away and running through clouds of explosions. He'll run through it into beast mode, come out in robot mode, and then it'll repeat. He'll go back after going through another one. And yeah. Then start shifting between forms. This is actually one of the few times where I actually like the transformation effect for the Maximals, because as a result, he'll be, like, partially transformed. Like, he'll be, like, oftentimes, like, a rat with wheels, or he'll be, like, a rat with, like, the two, like, oversized robot arms. At one point, he gets stuck with, like, both his rat head and his robot head right by it.
Talking simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the episode, he actually becomes, like, full rat body, but with the wheel hind legs.
Uh-huh. Which, yeah, I'm, that's, like, what I was referring to, like, kind of, like, a cute reference back to his transmetal mode of, like, being, like, the rat car.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a rat roadster.
Mm-hmm.
He's a ratster. Oh, actually, one thing I didn't want to mention. So his part of his transformation effect is when he turns into, goes to robot mode, his wheels sort of, like, do an in-place donut, like, before he finishes transforming. And that actually, sending up sparks too, which actually, one of the cooler transformation effects of Out of all of them, actually, I think Rattrap actually has the coolest transformation effect. Because the rest of them are more just like them writhing in a way, especially Black Arachnia's.
Yes.
So, hey, Cheetor or Rattrap, at least you got the least disgusting transformation effect.
Yeah. We also get perhaps the most, I wrote it to sound like it was the most Canadian sounding line. Well, they're running away, Cheetor turns to Rattrap, like, how are we supposed to lose him with you carrying on like that? And just like, no one ever says, like, carrying on in, like, an American, like, children's cartoon.
Yeah, and I think in American English it just means, like, he's talking a lot.
Uh-huh.
Which, not really what Rattrap was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't actually pick up on that while watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they realize that stealth isn't really an option, and they transform, which is tipping off Thrust and Jetstorm, who start closing in too.
Yeah. After they were basically had like been beating the crap out of each other. So like debating on who's gonna get the reward. They obviously do not think very little of Tankor's abilities to get it, otherwise they would have tried to take him out earlier.
I think they were going to, but one of them was like, he doesn't even make it fun. It's not even fun with him.
Yeah, I think they just saw him like rolling away, just like, haha, what Tankor, what a dummy.
Yeah. So they try to get close because I guess they figured out Tankor can only target at long range.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tankor shoots a satellite dish.
Yeah. We do get
Is it a satellite dish?
Yeah, we do get some like close, like Matrix-esque close combat. And I did check these machines was made after the Matrix.
What month did the Matrix release?
I think the Matrix came out in like 98.
No, it was for sure 99. But I just don't know what month it was released. But this was in, you know, this is in October.
March 31st,
1991.
91? Sorry. Yeah, 1999. Sorry.
Okay.
March 31st.
Yeah, so it really depends on how much lead time they had.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I do feel like, if not, like, the Matrix specifically, like, we've definitely commented how it has that, like, 90s, like, cyberpunk revival.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't get a chance to mention it, but when we initially see the Viacons driving through the city, it's all very neon and flashy, and, like, very, like, kind of reminds me of Akira, although, like, sadly, I don't think Thrust ever does, like, the Akira, like, motorcycle slide, which would have been awesome.
The closest thing would be the cycle drones. The Cyclodrone, I think I have done it like once or twice. I think it was mostly in the first episode. But yeah, so Tankor shoots a satellite dish and traps all of the Maximals underneath it.
Yeah, for the character supposed to be the dumb one, he's actually very on point for most of this episode.
Yeah. Thrust and Jetstorm come in now, and there's a I wrote down it's a three-way standoff, but
yeah.
It just looked like that originally.
Yeah, it does that, and they dash, and we get another, like, this, I forget whether they've done this before, but they do a very anime thing where, like, they're dashboard and, like, over speed lines, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something they never did in Beast Wars, but I'm pretty sure, but if this is not the first time, they definitely do it a lot more from what I remember.
Yeah, it fits the style better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they I thought it was gonna be a three-way standoff, but both of Jetstorm and Thrust just charged Tankor.
Yeah.
The Maximals are trying to sneak off while they're fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
A stray blast from Tankor actually sets off an explosion, which knocks out everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But Tankor's still standing.
Yeah.
And I guess he takes the Maximals back to the Citadel.
Yeah. Yeah, the next scene, he takes them back, like, and they're all tied up at the Citadel. It's like, dang! Like, again, like, Tankor is supposed to be the dumb one. Seems to be the most effective Viacon general so far.
Yeah. Well, I think he's the most motivated. Jetstorm. So, Megatron didn't really make it clear, but Jetstorm just assumes that his spark is on the line. Whereas we'll find out in a second, the reward the Tankor want is his quote unquote freedom. Which I'm not sure how they got to this conclusion, but Black Arachnia says he's volunteering to get a Spark Angie out.
That one's a little confused. Like, does Tankor want freedom to like not be controlled by Megatron, or does he want his spark removed?
He wants the freedom from the burden of choice, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Megatron, though. So, Megatron just gives a classic villain monologue again.
Mm-hmm.
Tankor demands his reward, which Megatron is not too keen on his tone. And he says, well, you've earned a reward, so have your comrades. Where are they? It's like, no, I don't want to share. Tankor wants his reward, his freedom.
Yeah, because it's worth noting, because like that's part of the reason why Jetstorm and Thrust are finding like they want the reward to themselves, even though none of them really knows what the reward is. Like it seems like Megatron was like willing to give it all of them. Like Megatron, if not for the fact like the reward is, you know, spark removal, I'd say Megatron, yeah, you're a good boss. Like you need to encourage your employees, like let them know that like they can all share in. It's not like they don't have to be cutthroat.
Actually, yeah. Something you might not notice is if he has the Maximals, he has no need for the Generals. So the quote unquote giving the reward to all of them is really just I have no further use for you. Give me those sparks.
Yes.
Yeah. So while Megatron is monologuing to Tankor, actually I think it's the same speech he was giving in the first part of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
His constant shifting back and forth ends up overloading his restraints, and he's free.
Specifically, Rat Trap's constant shifting.
Yeah, sorry. Rat Trap's constant shifting between modes overloads his restraints, and they just shut off. He uses the distraction monologue of Megatron's monologue to free the others.
Yeah, we do get a good point where Megatron's is like, now if there will be no further interruptions, where Optimus is like, I'm afraid there will be.
Yeah. And this is when he basically sticks Tankor on them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I noted, actually, Tankor seems to be in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And just starts shooting.
Well, like, he mentions that, like, when he, like, when stuff confuses him, it hurts his brain. Like when when he's chasing Rat Trap earlier and he's constantly shifting back and forth, he's like he doesn't understand why it keeps happening. It just hurts, and just that's why he just keeps firing off randomly.
Hmm.
Like thinking like actively, like it's like almost like thinking as actively painful for Tank.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh wow, that is just the worst existence ever.
Yeah. And especially ironic considering who we will eventually find out who that Tankor is.
Original identity. I specifically described the three generals in a way to make them contrast to find out who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
So Tankor just starts shooting and he accidentally hits Megatron's harness.
Yeah.
Which is when the doors are magnetically sealed. So Primal tries to just commune with Tankor's spark, which is, I think, the first time we've seen him do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Megatron does a... I don't know. Okay, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but as Tankor is approaching them, Megatron does a decent Shang Tsung impression. A bunch of monitors come down, and you see his face says, "Your sparks are mine."
Huh.
I don't know. I didn't notice any notes on the wiki about that, but
yeah.
I don't know if it felt like a Shang Tsung reference.
Yeah, the whole scene does get like very Return of the Jedi, where like Optimus is like reaching out to Tankor, appealing to his better nature, and then Megatron is ensuing nut and does I think also starts activating like the pain chip on him again.
I think it's in a second when he turns on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Tankor turns on Megatron, but uses his control of, well, sort of like, actually, since we're using a Star Wars reference, analogy, he sort of force pushes him back as he's trying to get to him, but then also, like, sends down one of the cables to just shock him. Which Rat Trap gets in on the fray and sort of bites through the cable. The surge of power actually fixes the transformation glitch.
Leaving him back in beast mode, of course.
Yeah, but I think at this point he'd be happy with he's happy with what he had. Tinkler blasts a hole through a very thick magnetically sealed door, which angers Megatron enough for him to go beast mode, and they all leave. Optimus, he tells Tankor to just come with them. Megatron is shooting fire breath around his command room, but then suddenly realizes that he can do the same thing as Optimus. Bypass the body and target the mind. Which I thought was really nice, because it reinforces the duality of Optimus and Megatron. Also, he goes into beast mode when he's angry, yet he seems to have really good moments of epiphany while he's in beast mode.
I think he can calm himself eventually once he gets in beast mode. Anger forces the transformation, but he doesn't have to be angry to stay in. Like, he's not like a Hulk or something.
Yeah. So Megatron accesses Tankor's CPU and erases his memory from the last 20 cycles.
Yeah.
So the last day is just gone.
Yeah.
And he's with the Maximals. Optimus tries to link with Tankor again, but Megatron has a firewall in place this time, and basically he tries to link with him. Megatron does an answering machine impression.
Yeah, it's like the first actually funny Megatron line in a while. He says "I'm sorry, Tankor is not available at the present time. Would you like to leave a message?"
Black Arachnia wraps Tankor in her webs and trips him, making Tankor blast himself in the face because he falls face first, and just flies away. When they get back to their base,
he doesn't just fly away. He flies up from the sewers, bursts up, and then falls down where Thrust and Jetstorm happen to be, so lands straight on top of them.
When the Maximals get back to their base, Cheetor asks how Optimus convinced Tankor. And Optimus just says he sensed something familiar, but maybe he just imagined it. I'm sure this means nothing.
Yeah, and we do get kind of a last cut of going in that spiritual room. You have Optimus's floating head and Tankor's floating head.
Yeah.
So you find even just a little bit, they shared a moment.
Actually, considering Tankor's actual origins, it kind of makes sense that Optimus would sense him first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't worry, all these cute references will make sense once we actually find out the Viacon Generals in about six or so episodes.
Yeah. That's the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the trivia. So the Japanese title of this episode was The Dearly Wished Transformation, referencing Rat Trap finally able to transform.
Yeah, still doesn't have control. I don't think he will have control until two more episodes, because I'm pretty certain that he does that. It's not until the weakest link, because the plot of that is him being disappointed with his mode. I think he's still stuck in rat mode during the next episode.
Yeah, I think so. The Mandarin title is Familiar Sparks. It's very on the nose. And then the German one is The Hunt. Actually. So as I was writing the German title, actually wrote Hund, which is German for dog. There were no dogs in this episode.
Nope. Yeah, this episode is kind of weird. I was kind of both simultaneously has not a lot of plot, but all of the plot happening at once. Because you have all these subplots. You have the Viacon Generals fighting amongst each other. I mean, they discover Megatron's old lab, and then they immediately leave it. It's such a minor plot point in the episode that it's just kind of weird. And I cannot remember if they go back. It's been a long time since I've watched the series. So maybe they do. Maybe they don't.
I don't know if they actually go back to the lab, but them finding the lab and the virus does come into play later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even just, like, I'll admit, like, Tanker coming with him and then getting his mind wiped, it's cool, but, like, also, like, from a story standpoint, it didn't really serve anything. Like, you know, they could have, like, Tanker got left behind and still got his mind wiped. I mean, I guess it's to show that duality and show, like, how cruel Optimus and Megatron, like, Optimus tries to appeal to Tanker's better nature. Megatron just, like, surgically removes the parts he doesn't like.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I should have paid... No, never mind. I was going to say I should have paid attention to the respective modes of Optimus and Megatron while they were in the same room. But then I remember, like...
When they're captured, they're in beast mode.
Yeah.
And then once they get freed, he transforms into robot mode. But
Megatron stays in robot mode until Tankor blasts the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
The focus wasn't on them together for that most part, so, like, we can give that one a pass.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know if they're going to carry that the whole series, but it made the most sense when they were first confronted each other.
Yeah.
I picked up what you were
saying. I just never noticed that the thing from the first second episode, and I just wanted to see how far they're going to take that. Yeah. No character spotlight this episode. We do sort of have a message from the Golden Disc. So for those of you who know, or so for those who don't know, there's a certain voice actor named Rob Paulsen. You probably know him as Carl Weezer from Jimmy Neutron, Yakko Warner and Pinky from Animaniacs. And lots of other stuff. He's actually done a fair amount of Transformers work, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he has this show where he talks to other voice actors called Talking Toons. And there's actually a video version on the Nerdist YouTube channel, which he'll post, like, 10 minutes of the last part of the interview. And he actually had David Kaye on. And what they usually do for that last 10 minutes is they take a famous scene from a movie or something. They both do one of their characters. And David Kaye actually did Megatron. So I, of course, like, immediately tweeted that out as soon as I watched it. And Rob Paulsen retweeted us. We got a lot of attention because of that.
Yay!
Yeah.
Any new listeners, welcome and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you're in like a year when you hear this, if you started from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really cool of him. Also, yeah, I guess he's technically sort of promoting his own thing, too.
I actually thought Rob Paulsen, like, voiced a character from anime, but nope, looks like he's only done the original one, which is surprising.
Yeah. He's talked about it before. Usually when he's... usually referring to Michael Bell, who did a few voices on G1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just because, like, I think that's when there were usually stories from when they were working together on G1. Talking about Michael Bell.
Yeah, no, like, I could even get something shot on the wiki. There was one episode from 2014 where he did an episode entirely on the G1 cartoon. And interviewed Greg Berger, Neil Ross, Charlie Adler, and Hal Rain.
Yeah. I think I'm trying. Does it say what character he had in G1?
He had a couple. He had Air Raid, yeah. Chase, a character that was cast but, like, did not actually appear in it. Haywire, Fastlane, the PA, and Rebirth Part 1, and Slingshot.
Those are all in season 2 and 3, aren't they?
Yeah, like, Air Raid and Slingshot would probably be the most notable one to people because they're members of the Aerial Bots.
Yeah.
Haywire and I think Fastlane are also... Fastlane, he appeared in, like, a scene. Because, like, they're like the Autobot clones. And Haywire was a headmaster.
Hmm.
Or Target Master, so yeah. Not super notable roles, although Air Raid and Slingshot did do a couple things. I think they they would also appear in one of the most, in Aerial Assault, which is perhaps one of the most infamous episodes of Generation 1, since Megatron's plan is a giant purple griffin, for some reason. Is that also the one that... that's not the one that introduces Carbamia, thankfully.
Oh, God.
Yeah, actual thing.
Oy.
Not good, though.
Yeah, so, so I started. So, James, who's your MVP for this episode?
Okay, my MVP for this episode is... I'm actually going to give it to Tankor. Again, like, Tankor, like, he's supposed to be the dumb, slow one, but is kind of the most effective character. Like, he manages to take out the Maximals, take out his rivals, bring them back to Megatron. Like, and then also, like, kind of fight off Megatron with some help, admittedly. But, like, you know... He had, like, a real arc that admittedly got erased by Megatron, but sometimes that happens.
Bastard. So, yeah, there's not... It's the choice is really just Tankor, and to a lesser degree, Rat Trap. Mm-hmm. Just for, like, breaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tankor's really the only choice for MVBs, actually, so he's also mine. For kind of the same reasons, like, most of the episode kind of just revolved around him.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I almost forgot, there was another line that kind of stuck up for me kind of weird, where when Tankor's still kind of conflicted, Megatron says, "Ignore them, they're only trying to confound you," which I wrote down just because it was weird to hear someone use confound in a sentence like that.
Why is he using it to Tankor, too, actually?
I don't know, Tankor wouldn't understand that word!
Yeah, no, that was my exact thought as I was watching the episode. I'm like, why are you using the word confound? It's Tankor.
Maybe that's why it doesn't work.
Yeah. I think it worked for a second. But then Optimus points out, like, he's... Like, if you actually... once he has us, he has no need for you, so he's gonna take you offline. Yeah. So, next episode preview... next episode, a mysterious bat offers a strange new energy supply, but is it a blessing or a curse in Forbidden Fruit? With Eugenia.
Yes. We're gonna get Night Scream, for better or for worse.
Yeah. Also, this actually does play into the uprising with the mecha... It's not Mechanimal, is it?
Yes, it is Mechanimal.
Okay, that sounds like a toy line.
Not to be confused with the Mechanibles, which are a separate thing.
Yeah, Mechanimals on Cybertron being able to just eat food in order to synthesize Energon for themselves. Mm-hmm. The other future Maximal that we're gonna get, I have some questions about how her quote unquote beast mode works. Like, before she gets to Cybertron, but we'll
don't worry,
that's one.
Season 2. We got time.
Yeah. Was that Season 2?
I want to say yes.
Okay, I didn't realize. Yeah, so anything else before we get to the closing?
I think that's everything.
Okay. Oh, I just realized we're actually... only at 44 minutes.
Huh. Yeah, as I said, like, the episode is kind of breezy, because again, a lot happens, but then, like, when you describe, like, oh yeah, it's basically, like, it's like, Tankor captures him in Rat Trap's, like, transformation, freaking out the entire time.
Yeah. Closing. Thank you for listening to the Axon Archives. If you have any questions, want to guest on the show, or just want to talk about Beast Wars / Beast Machines, you can reach us on Twitter at Axon Archives or by email at axonarchives@gmail.com. Part of the music used in this episode is Fat Planet by Left Field and is copyright Left Field. And licensed by Sony Music. We will be working on getting a podcast license for that. Fat Planet is used only for purposes of discussion and no violation of international copyright law is intended. You can find the band on the web at leftfieldmusic.com and on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes by searching Left Field, all one word. You can find our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Podknife, Podbean, Podchaser, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and coming soon to Pandora. Please leave a rating and a review because it helps people find the show. Check out our website at axelon.buzzsprout.com. If you want to follow either of us individually on Twitter, I'm at Dowfac.
I'm at Discord_Inc.
Until next time, the Beast Wars are over, right?
What in the name of Gouda has happened to Cybertron? We should probably update that.